But God is good, and we are today talking about parents in our battles. And I'm going to read a couple of verses for you, but first, let's go through our announcements if we have them.
We don't have them.
I know we have no announcements. Okay,
No.
so no announcements today, which is great because it takes pressure off. I want to read you a couple of verses today, but before we read those verses, I like what we were just saying, no other name. You know, so why would you proclaim the name of Jesus today over this year? Why would you proclaim the name of Jesus over, you know, your week that's coming up? Why would you proclaim Jesus' name over some news or something that happened last week or last month? Why would you proclaim the name of Jesus over anything and everything that's going on in your life right now? Because other than that, I guarantee you, if the name of Jesus and if the power of the Holy Spirit is not here with us, no matter what the message is going to sound like, we're going to leave this place not remembering the word. And it's not because of my accent, it's not because of anything, you know, it's because of who we are. Because the enemy is so good at coming and stealing the word of God. If you remember the message, the parable of the farmer who went out to plant some seeds. So the enemy, the ones that are thrown on the road, the enemy comes quickly and takes them out. But today we want to be that good soil. In Jesus' name, we want to be that good soil that takes the seed, that takes the word of God and brings out fruit. Amen? Amen. So we're going to read today a couple of verses. We're going to pray for a minute and get into it. We're going to read from Deuteronomy 1. Verse 1, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring people in Arba. Forgive my, you know, my pronunciation of these names. They're really hard, but none of us are going to visit them anytime soon, so you're fine. So, where did they go? Oh, the neighboring people in Arba, the mountains and the western foothills in Asia and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the land the Lord swore he would give to you, to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants after them. So, Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we proclaim your name over everything. We proclaim your name over every thought. We proclaim your name over every way that we have set in our hearts and minds to receive your word, that you will change it today, that your word will bring fruit in our lives, Lord. That today we will not be just another name. Today we will not be just listening to a speaker, but we will be listening to you. Today, Lord, we trust you with everything. We give you everything. You all know the story, you know the story of the Israelites. I like to go back to the Old Testament often because it gives us a picture of the current warfare that we go through. But, you know, our warfare here is spiritual. It's not seen, even though if you focus hard enough, you can see it in the world that we live in. But back then, it was an actual war. It was an actual leaving Egypt. Right now, our Egypt is this world, that I want to be from this world. I want to change my habits. I want to change, you know, my look at life. I want to commit my life to God and follow God. I want to proclaim His name. My life, my heart is the kingdom of God. I want God to fill me with His Holy Spirit, that when people see me, they see the glory of God. Not to give myself, you know, credit, but it's all for His glory. So right now, our warfare, our life is a little bit different. But I like to go back because it draws that picture for us. You know, it's easier when someone draws a picture for you, right? So the Bible has given us that picture so we can see what happened to them and we can learn from it. We have the book of Genesis that speaks to us about creation. We have the book of Exodus that speaks to us about leaving Egypt, leaving the land of slavery, leaving that Pharaoh that who was the president or, you know, the chief of that world, right? And then, but God didn't just take them out of Egypt. to be out of Egypt. No, he took them out of Egypt to give them the promised land. Okay? God took us out of the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light. Right? So, and then we have Leviticus, God is teaching them the holy life, you know, how to live and to worship God. He is connecting them with, for the first time. These are people that never heard about living God. They were worshiping the sun, they were worshiping cows, they were worshiping the Nile, they were worshiping so many things. Now God is teaching them how to connect with him. Like before, we connected with God, we were worshiping so many things. Some people were worshiping us. Some people were worshiping homes. Some people were worshiping diplomas and stuff like that. And now that we connect with God, we worship the one hand, the only God. We have that relationship with him, Son and Father. And then we have the book of Numbers, and that's the failure to entering the promised land. And that's what we're kind of going to talk about today. And then we have Deuteronomy, and this is Moses speaking to the new generation. Because the old generation lived in Egypt and was supposed to reach the promised land in 11 days, 11 to 13 days. How long did it take them? 40 days. And most of that generation that lived in Egypt actually never made it to the promised land. Most of those who left the kingdom of darkness never experienced the fullness of the promises of God. It was supposed to take 11 days. It took them 40 years and they made it to be made. They thought, that's what we're talking about today. They looked up and they thought, this land is full of giants. This land has these big, huge walls around them. This land is with experience in war. We can never take them down. And therefore, they lost and they never entered the fullness of God's promises. I look back at my notes and I preached about this very message in 2019. But just like then, I preached about the walls and the giants. Today I'm not going to preach about that. Today, God opened my eyes to the real giant. God opened my eyes to the real walls, but it's not outside. It's not on the other end. It's right here. The real giant that I need to face today is me. If I want change, if I want the battles to be won against the Canaanites, or if I want the battles to be won against the giants and the sons of Jacob, and yes, they were huge. They were like 2 to 3 meters tall, like what? 7, 8, 9 feet tall, strong, well trained. Yes, that is given. And every single one of us will face all these giants. Every single one of us will face these wars and these battles outside. But before you win your battle inside, you're not even going to stick to the battle outside. You lost before you even started. Today I pray before we leave this place that we would at least identify the giant that's inside us. Listen to God's word here. God's word is telling them, you have been here for too long. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Well, you took us out of Egypt. That's true. But that's half of my promise. Half of my promise is to set you free. That's not the full promise. The full promise is to set you free and then do my work. I'm so sorry. I'm going to give you a hard time today. You know, my neck is hurting. My body is hurting on the right side. So I can't really turn a lot. So I'll be moving my feet. Okay? So Grace is very happy that she's not doing the camera today. So that's half of the promise. And sometimes we hold on to half of that promise of God setting us free. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. That's wonderful. But saved to do what? Did he just save you so you can eat and drink drink and have babies and all that. That's what you were doing in Egypt. That's what, exactly what you were doing when you were still under the control of Pharaoh. Changing location doesn't mean changing heart. Changing your address from Egypt to Horeb, or like from the inside of Egypt to the outside of Egypt, does not mean that you are a productive member in God's kingdom. Calling a prayer of salvation or coming to an altar call here at church or online or whatever you are does not mean this is the end of it. No, this is the beginning of your life. This is the beginning of my life. The life that we left behind is already gone. We don't need to remember that anymore. Now it's the life that I live in Jesus Christ. You have been staying here for so long. Listen to this, Romans 12, 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Because the pattern of this world, they like to rest. They like to stay put. They like to keep on those traditions. I want to wake up in the morning, go to work, come back to work, wait until the weekend, go out with my friends, Saturday, Sunday, all of that, repeat over and over. That's the pattern of this world. Do what you please. Do what you're comfortable with. But what it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to keep working on your mind. You've got to keep working on who you are. You've got to keep on working with your relationship with God, and it says keep renewing. This is not something that's going to happen once or twice or three times. You're going to be doing this for the rest of your life, because God is promising to take us from one glory to another. God is promising to take us from one experience to another. God is promising us to take us from one place to another. God is promising to keep us as a blessing in this world from one person to another. In the Word of God, we are called what? We are called sisters. We are called ambassadors. We are called priests. We are called so many things. Any of them. If you're an ambassador from the United States to Egypt, okay? Can you just do it from here? You have to be there. You have to physically go there and represent your country. As ambassadors for Christ, we have to physically and we have to be actively moving from where we are to someone else. We have to be active in our faith. Wherever we go, we are representing God. As witnesses, it requires action as well. It cannot, you cannot be a witness standing still where you are. You have been here for too long. It's time to move. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. And then Jesus, before he leaves, he tells his disciples what? Go to all the nations. Go to all the nations. When I wanted you to stay in Jerusalem, I told you to stay in Jerusalem. When I wanted you to stay put, I told you to stay put. But right now, as you waited for me, and I gave you what you need, it's time to move on. You learn that Jesus is alive. You learn that He's giving you new life. You learn that He's giving you the power of the Holy Spirit that will work in you. Then go ahead and teach them. Go ahead and baptize them in the name of the Father. Tell them who the Father is. Tell him he loves you. Tell him he loves you just like the Father loves his son and more. Tell him that he gave up his only and one son for you. Tell him about the son who sacrificed his life. He came to this poor, horrible earth to die for you, to pay your debt. Tell him about the Holy Spirit that can give you the power to live the life that is intended for them to live. Amen? But all of that requires for you to make the move. You cannot stand still. And let me ask you this question before we move on. What is that mountain of glory in your life? Where is that place where you feel like you're stuck? Where you cannot move anymore? Is it a season? It could be a season where you feel like this season is so rough, or this season is so dead. This season, I have been neutralized. Is that a word? This season, I have been neutralized. I know I am avoiding progress. I know I am not willing to do what it takes to go forward. Looking back, I was just sharing this with Pastor Albert and Pastor Mike a couple of days ago, in the season of November and December. Our family was attacked with so many things, health-wise and in so many areas. And during that time, unconsciously, I want to be able to survive. I said, I'm just going to be here. I don't want to damage the enemy's kingdom, but just don't come and damage mine. Because I don't want to take that chance. We were hit so hard, one thing after another, where I was like, I'm just going to do it. Or it could be because something that you hold so dear to your heart, and you know, and I know, we move, we must leave this heart. Or it could cost us some work, or it could cost us some effort. See, that's a giant, not on the outside, that's a giant inside. The enemy, after that November, drama that we went through, there wasn't on the outside, the fear was inside. The lack of faith was inside. The lack of trust was inside. I didn't want anything or anyone to miss what we had, or what we had. That was so important to me. And if there's nothing wrong with that, but it would be something wrong with that if it keeps me from what God has. If this is where I am chilling, and this is where I am comfortable. The word of God came to Moab in Jeremiah 48. Philmoab, she's been addressed since youth. Like wine that's never been empty or ruined. The smell and the taste and everything about it is very much the same. No change. It became very, very happy. Like there's no taste, there's no flavor. Never been to the fire, never had hard times, never challenged herself. Similar to that, it's time to do. It's time to stop. But as when I was preparing this, I was maybe I can ask some people to answer me, and then I remember it's not Bible study. I wish that this, if this was Bible study, let me tell you, I would be stopping the meeting right now and asking, where is your mountain? I know you're not going to tell me, and I know I might not tell you either, but I'm just going to ask it in a way, and that's what I do Bible study, by the way. What do you think the mountains are? Where we're stuck. And your first answer is usually what you're dealing with. So that's what happens in Bible study, and that's how I figure out what you're struggling with. Anyway, there is something that I can tell you. That every minute you spend on that mountain, every minute that you're stuck, there's a life being lost. The land that God was giving was a land that did not worship God. A land where you can rape any woman, any time, and no questions asked. A land where they were sacrificing their children, their babies, in fire and in lakes, just to please the God. A land that had no morals, had no value for human life. This is the land that God was telling them to move out of Egypt and have them invade this land and make it a land that would worship the one and only God. A land that would restore humanity to humans. A land that would finally respect women and truly value them. A land that will take care of their children. A land that would help one another. A land that would lift one another because they're getting it all from God. So every minute you're staying here on that mountain, someone's being killed. Every minute you're sitting on that mountain in your rest, in your comfort zone, someone is losing life or losing something precious to them. Imagine if you were a firefighter and you get a call You know, you get dispatched to go to this address because there's a fire. And you say, oh yeah, like, I don't feel like it today. Imagine you're a police officer getting that same call that there's a burglar at this address and they need you really quick. And you say, you know what, you know, he'll bring it up. I guarantee you're not going to keep that job going. Every minute we spend on that mountain in our wrist, something that is so dear to God is being lost. Every minute we spend on the mountain, we're losing a blessing. When they sent those disciples, they didn't have when they sent those spies, they brought back so many, like the fruit that they brought and the news that they gave about the land is so amazing. The land does flow with them. A relationship with God is very satisfying. The relationship with God is very filling. A relationship with God is worth anything in this world. That's what we think every Sunday. They brought this news that every minute you stay under God's full, the fullness of God from God, you are losing this. There is much more to our life than just leaving Egypt. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, not created in Adam, because we know what creation in Adam did not really work very well. But when we are created in Christ Jesus, now we're getting our life from Christ Jesus after the resurrection, okay? We created a life, Jesus, for good, created a life with Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. That should work. So every person who receives Christ in his heart, in their heart, there is work for you to do. Then we take a part of working kingdom. And the Galatians 1:12, it says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Listen to this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into. So, you have your Bibles, or if you want to remember this, he rescued us from and then into the kingdom of the Son we love. God took us from one place with the intention to give us another. It's time for a move. And then it says, break camp and advance into the hell country. Let's break something today. Let's break something today. I just asked you a question a couple of minutes ago. Where is your mountain? Or what is your mountain? Where are you stuck? In our world, where are you stuck? Where do you feel like I cannot get past this, or I don't want to get past this, or I am defeated and I am chained to this area? Where is it and what is it? And in Jesus' name today, you can break this. Break camp. Break your comfort. Break your channel. Break whatever you want to call it. Just break it, and it's time to move. And it's, listen to this. In Exodus 14:13, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, okay? Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. So in Exodus 14, Moses is coming to them, and when they saw that the sea is in front of them, and Pharaoh is behind them, and there is absolutely nowhere to go, this is time for you to stand firm and see what God is going to do. Okay? When God knows, you can't, he will tell you, just stand still and I will take care of it. But when God tells you to move, that means you can move. That is completely different. See, a lot of times we mix the two. We want our Red Sea experience. We want God to split the sea for us. We want God to drown Pharaoh and his horses for us. We want him to do that over and over and over and over for us. They lost their point. But again, our life goes back to, you know, eating, drinking, having babies, and there's an army that's leading a charge for us. That's what we need to do. And God is calling us to take control. God is calling us to be partners with Him. God is calling us to come today in the fight. God is calling us to be ambassadors for Him. It's time to move right now to where I will take you. One of my favorite verses, and I have something to write this verse down because it really helps me a lot. Hopefully it helps you. It's in Psalm 17. My steps have held fast in your path. My feet have not stopped. I am looking where God is going, and I am following. Did God ever slip? God ever fumble? Able to throw all these galaxies together? Did he ever make a mistake? Absolutely. So if my feet, if my steps, if I'm following his steps, I am guaranteed not to slip. So when he's moving, I am moving. Another mistake we make is say, God, I want you with me. It's great. We really want that, right? But I want you to come to go with me. Where? To where he's showing us, or to where I am showing him. See, God's message here is very specific. Go to that place that I'm showing. Do the things I'm showing you to do. That means he is going first, and we are just following. I'll move when you move, I'll move when you tell me, and I will trust that you have a reason, even if I don't see it. If you're not satisfied with your spiritual condition, it's time for routine requires routine. If you want change in your life, you must start with a change. I know it's simple. If you're not happy with where you're currently in, then it's time to change something. It's time for a move. It's time for action. Ask Abraham, ask David, ask Daniel, ask Peter, ask Paul, ask any of them. How did you get to where you are? Your ultimate started with you. It started with breaking the hunger. Started with breaking what I was doing before. I said, I had enough of this. I listened to what God said. I stayed there for too long, and then now I am moving. Moving, I have someone's good to see Albert and Dalia here and Philip and all of them. But today they're not here. But I made this decision. When Philip, my brother, a few years ago, not a few years ago, maybe 25 years ago or 30 years, made a move in his life. That move did not just affect his life. That move changed all of our lives. I know God used his move to change my life. And the life that we have right now, it was because of God's move in someone who obeyed him. Listen, man. Affected everyone around him. And his blessing became a blessing to me, became a blessing to my wife, became a blessing to my children, became a blessing to my neighbors, became a blessing to everyone because he decided to make a move. You can be that person that starts a move. You can be that person that starts breaking camp and going to where God wants to lead you. And then it says, go in and take possessions of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The land is already given. The fullness of God's promises are already given. He already has it. You don't need to do anything but to obey and listen and make a move and face your journey and take that first step. But let's go through what actually happened. In Numbers 13:1, listen to this. And I'm going to read you what God said and what they did. And you, I know how smart you are, you will tell me what happened. Okay? In Numbers 13:1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. With from each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. What God is saying, okay, you want to see the land? Okay, just go see the land. Just see the land. That's all you need to do. Just see the land. I'm giving you a gift. You want to see that gift before Christmas? Okay, but it's a review gift. We have two little munchkins that always wanted to see their gift before Christmas. Okay? And they will do everything and anything to try to find out what that gift is. But that gift, they were trying to, they couldn't, they weren't patient, but they just wanted to see the gift, right? Which we all do. But listen to what actually happened. In Numbers 13:17, Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, get up into N-E-G-E-B, and go up to the hill country and see what the land is. So far, he is aligned with what God said, right? But look at what happens. And see what the land is, and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good for them, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not, be of good courage. This is good news. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season for the fruit, the first ripe grapes. God said, I gave you a land. As a good, loving father, okay, when I come to my child and say, I made you breakfast, imagine if my child calls the FDA and says, could you please send me an inspector? My dad made breakfast, but not me, okay. My mom made me breakfast, but made me breakfast. If it was me, maybe they should call the FDA. But my mom made me breakfast, okay? Can you please send an inspector to make sure that this food is not poisoned, that the ingredients are correct, that, you know, the sugar and the protein, you know, ratio and all of that are exactly what I need? Did any of your kids do that? Elijah does that. So, of course we don't do that. When we hear a promise from God as his children, especially after what we just saw from him, after all the wonders and miracles that he's done with us and for us over and over and over, it's kind of a slap in the face when God is trying to give us something and we start examining. But to be all fair, and this is coming from me because I love planning and I love structure. It's one of my biggest strengths, but it's also one of my biggest weaknesses. Okay? So, another view of it could say, well, it's good to plan ahead, and it's good to find out what you have that has ahead of you. Nehemiah did that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Other people do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem, that when my plan, my dependency becomes fully dependent on that plan, or when I become fully dependent on that plan, that's my problem. When I see the struggles coming my way and I freak out, then I completely lose God out of the picture. I can put a plan, you can put a plan all you want, you can put structure all you want, that's completely okay. End of the day, I know, and I should be prepared to do whatever God wants to do. Right? So, See the people who are strong are weak. Really? Are you going to defend me? What if they're strong? Are you going to back down? What if they're weak? Does that mean you're going to go get it, take it with your own strength? How about a few or many? Okay, let's go ask Joshua, you know. See if he can, if you're going to use that same method, then a lot of the things that God told us and gave us didn't make sense and wouldn't make sense. How many were you when you faced the Egyptian army? The Egyptian army was the mightiest army at that time, and you defeated them without looking up one sword. So where are you getting this logic from? Seek if the land is good or bad. Would God ever give us something that is good? And if it was bad, and if God is asking you to go to a place that your eyes doesn't look great, but God is asking you to go, would you go? And what if it was so good, right? If I'm just going to go, and your soul is going to be connected with the goodness of the land, or your soul is going to be connected with God who gave you that. See if the golden calves were stronghold, like the walls, are going to either be bigger than God, or the tents, you know, that's easy for us to do, that's the God that we can finish where we have kind of come. Rich or poor, can they hire someone else to come and help them, you know, to partner with them? See, the way they looked at it, God simply said, go and take the land. The way that Moses looked at it, Moses before became Moses, well, he knows Moses, but before that change in his life, he was a general in God's army. He was a general in the Egyptian army. And right now, he is doing the same calculation, he's doing the same plan, the same thing that he would do as a general in the army. That happens to you and me in our daily life and in our spiritual life. We try to apply what we apply on our daily life, in our jobs, in our, you know, responsibilities and all of that into the spiritual life and taking the God aspect of it. It's great, again, to plan, it's great to have structure, it's great to do all of that. But that doesn't mean my plan is overfilled God's plan. Look at the difference between law and Abraham. One saw and it looked good to him, but he didn't know that he was full of death after that. And the other one, whatever you choose, you take me. But the other land looks better. The other land looks greener. The other land will give you more money, will give you more success, will give you more of that. But that's not what you want to do. That's not what you want to do. See, this has nothing to do with the outside. This has to do all with the inside. My prayer today is that we start addressing these issues in our heart. The issues of laziness, the issues of not wanting to move, the issues of trying to apply this world's method into God's promises and will. And then the people said this, okay? Let us send the men ahead to spy out the land for us, and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. God has been guiding you with fire and clouds and His protection. God has been providing food for you. God has been providing drinks out of the rocks. God has been doing all these miracles day after day for you. But you still want a report on how we're going to have a report about the land and also a report on which direction we're going to go. That's an insight. So Lord, I need security first. You're calling me to be in a relationship with you. You are calling me to take a step deeper with you. You are calling me to get rid of this relationship, or get rid of this website, or get rid of this thing. You're calling me to go into something deeper with you, and to invest and put hard work and pray and spend time with you. You're calling me to do all of that. That's great. Now, first, let's talk about it. Give me a report on how is that going to look like. Give me a report on how I'm going to do it. Give me a report if it's going to be worth it to me or not. Imagine Peter, before he stepped out of the boat, said, okay, so let's talk about this. Let's use some physics and let's use some numbers. I'm weighing 200 pounds, so I need to, you know, first of all, like the pressure on the water needs to be at this, you know, at this level or at that level. I need to be this size for me to be able to walk on water. By the time he would have done that, the opportunity would have been lost. But Peter said, if you have Jesus, ask me to come to you. He took a step of faith and started walking. He lived in the boat. That boat is not still in him. That boat is weak. That boat is more than that. That boat is not his destiny. That was in the back. That was back to the patient. That was the honest. Okay? Now it's time to go and sit on the water and start walking. Now it's time to take a step that I never thought I would be taking one day. And then we see the retrogression. First, we build on the word, and then we add their own flavor on it. You and I do that often, by the way. We hear God's word, and we start putting our flavors that are coming from everything we learn in our lives, everything that's surrounding us. We start calculating what God said with our own method. I remember like 2 years ago, I preached here at this church. A message under our translation system. That our translation system is so messed up. Because God is trying to give us something that we're completely misinterpreting this with our own thoughts, our own ways of thinking. But His ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. Then we start seeing the retrogression of their faith. It starts with that, and then they come back and say, we cannot do this. We will not do this. In verse 26, Moses tells them, but you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of God, of the Lord your God. They chose reality over faith. They chose that those signs are stronger than God. They chose that those walls are bigger than God. You choose, and I choose many times, that the circumstances ahead of us, or the habits that we have, or the comfort that we value, or whatever it is, we make that choice off. Even though we see God, we know God. God delivers, and He keeps delivering. You we are unwilling to go up. And we rebelled against God. And then, not only that, but you grumbled and you in your tents and said, The Lord hates us. So He brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy. That's what they say. God took us out of Egypt because He hates us and He wants us to be killed by these other nations. Do you see how far we can go? Do you see how far we can go when we don't trust God? Do you see that? That's, again, that's not coming from the outside. That's healing that needs to happen. That is something that needs to change about our thought of God. God hates
God wants us then. We are already dead. He doesn't, we don't need to do him a favor. We don't need to help him in our death. We are already dead. And if he left us just alone, we are good and dead. But he actually came to give us life, a life that is more abundant. But that's what he thought of God. That's what we often think of God because of our disbelief. Not only that, but they believe the bad report that came from other people, even though the word of God is still ringing in their head. 10 people said, no, we can't do it. 2 people are still saying, yes, we can. Yes, we can. But you know what? Even if it was the other way around, even if it was 10 people saying, yes, we can, and 2 people would say, no, we can't, the disbelief is disbelief. It's not about the number of people. It's about where your mind is connected. It's about where your heart is connected. If your heart is connected with God, you could be, if you're not connected with God, you could be a 40,000 man army. And one Goliath can scare you for many days and many nights. One man versus 40,000, and they were scared of him. But switch this around to someone else. David, no experience, no weapons, nothing. And there's a giant coming in front of his face. He does not even see that giant. He only saw that. You fast forward to someone like Josh, you know, 300 men, and what did he have against them? 100,000 people, 100,000 soldiers? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not about numbers. God can deliver. God is with me. They chose to believe based on where their hearts were set. They chose comfort. They chose easy work. They chose to add their own flavor to God's word and God's promises. They chose to believe fear over believing. I still have a few things that we're going to be on here to cover my time. Out of everything we discussed today, where do you see yourself? Because if we live this place the same way, then we're very much doing the same story. And if we're not doing it now, we're going to move there. There are giants inside of us. There is a giant of fear inside of your heart that's holding you down. There is a giant of laziness. Yes, laziness. That's inside of your heart that doesn't want to keep you forward. There is a giant of comfort, whatever you want to call it. Something inside of you that's holding you. The giants on the outside, the walls outside, this is just an excuse. But the real reason is here, in our lives. I pray today that we will come to God to show us those giants. I pray today that we will come to God and ask Him for mercy to help us to get rid of those giants. Day after day, when you search your heart before God, when you search our heart before God, He will show you, He will show you. So when He says, get up and move, we're ready to get up. Rest without God is not rest at all. Battle without God is the perfect place to rest. True is the perfect place to rest. I'm not sure about how long you've been stuck in this place, and I'm not sure what is this place for you and for me. All I know is God is asking for a move. He took you out to give you him, not just to leave you, because there is no need. If you want to experience the fullness of God's promises today, if you want to experience the fullness of His joy, the fullness of His peace, the fullness of His love, the fullness of His holiness, if there is something still holding you down, if there is something still keeping you away, keeping you apart, if still something you feel like you cannot cross this mountain, just break with him today.
was on the outside before we were on the inside. True change starts on the inside, not the outside. Yes, you will have battles in the future. You will have many battles on the outside. But don't worry about that right now, because God will take care of you. The battle that you need to take right at this moment is the battle of your body. The battle of your thoughts. That is the traditional scenario of the things that we use in the comfortable way. How long have you been there? It's time to move. It is not by might, nor by power, but by strength, but by the spirit. You will win this battle. You will win this battle. That's why we want so many other battles to do. You will win this one as well. But I'm important to do these responsibilities. Well. What is the thing that's giving you so much comfort that will, that's costing you everything else? What is the thing that you're scared of? You look on the outside and you see how big, how strong, how rich, how famous, how fit, how fit it is. And you feel like you can't do this. The problem is not on the outside, the problem is on the inside. The mountains can be big, easily. He can split the sea easily. He can raise the lid easily. But he's not going to force himself. It's your choice, and it's my choice to step out of that door and be stalling behind me. So I'm going to take that. How are you acting today? How are you your best? How are you a servant? How are you a priest? How are you a witness? It requires a move. It requires a change. And no, it's not from the outside. It's from the inside. You want to know the truth? This was a message. Generation. You could be one of the same generation. Or you could be still older than the other 41. You don't have to. I don't have to. Our time is now. Our season is now. This season is not the one of the four. This season is to step up and to move forward. I don't want to lose my life. I want to waste my life in this wilderness. I want to be a blessing. I want my food to make other moves. I want my food to make other people.